B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, Mike and I are joined by Joe Murray from the Over Under 98.5 podcast. This is our official WrestleMania preview show, people. WrestleMania is here. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. And you want to check out Mike Riley's conversation with WWE Hall of Famer Brutus the Barber Beefcake. You want to check out Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz Over Under podcast. Those are available there. Mike, good day to you.
Good day to you, Jimmy. It is finally here. WrestleMania, the buildup, and I am ready for New York, New Jersey this weekend. Are you?
Yes, I am. Joe Murray, hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I know you have me on to talk the odds, but I'm a huge wrestling fan and can't wait for WrestleMania this weekend.
And this is also Joe's favorite podcast for all of you.
That is right. My favorite podcast on B-Pod Studios.
Excellent. Thank you, Joe. So what we're going to do here is we're going to open up. We'll discuss the main event, which is Ronda Rousey against Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair in a winner-take-all match. And then we'll go through the matches that are most interesting to us. We are not going through in detail all 35 matches. You can do that on your own time. We're going to highlight three matches that are interesting to us. We're going to do some prop bets. We're going to do some quick picks. And there's a little SmackDown, little dirt sheet nugget that we'll get to if we have time at the end of the podcast. So let's start here with the main event, which will finish the show, as the women will probably hit the ring around 11:30 because WrestleMania is going until 12:30, but that's a story for another time. Ronda Rousey defends the Raw Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair, who defends the SmackDown Women's Championship against Becky Lynch, who is fighting for the people. I am picking Charlotte Flair to win this match because at the end of the day, Vince McMahon still wants Charlotte Flair to be the greatest female performer in the history of his company. And based on Charlotte's size, I think it's very believable that she could beat Ronda. I want noted for the record, as I've been saying for weeks, that while I'm cheering for Charlotte to win and I'm picking Charlotte to win, the best move for the company in the short term is Becky wins and send everybody home happy. But long term, it's Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, long term. But you know what? Again, Jimmy, as I don't know, I think she could beat Ronda Rousey with the size there. In a real life fight, though, I'm going to take Ronda Rousey. I think she could beat pretty much anyone in the world for that matter.
So, Mike, you're picking Ronda Rousey as the winner take all here?
No.
Oh, okay,
no,
okay.
Because this is sports entertainment, as we are told. And that is why I think they're going to do what's best for business. As I've been saying the last few weeks, I've been flipping the coin on a daily basis. Will it be Becky or Charlotte? Well, today, as of this podcast, the coin is flipped in favor of the man, Becky Lynch. I think she comes away as the Raw Women's Champion and the SmackDown Women's Champion Sunday night at WrestleMania. The time... maybe Joe will have the over-under on that one. What time it's going to be over by?
Joe, give me a prediction. Give me the odds.
Well, I'll start off with the odds here. Becky Lynch, the strong favorite at -350. So, if you are going to bet this, $350 gets you $100. If you like Charlotte Flair, it is +300. And Ronda Rousey, the clear underdog in this match. Now, you know, if we're going to talk betting on it, we have to think of some of the scenarios. Is Ronda going to walk away for a bit? Is that one thing that's out there? And you guys made a couple of good points with the right thing to do or the fair thing to do with things ahead is probably put it on Becky. But I have this weird twist of whatever we see on the go ahead, the go home shows, something's changed. And I know we'll get into some others that were different on Monday Night Raw, but that car scene, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
They can't end this. Like, they're at the height right now, and if they have a great match and maybe there's some controversy or something like that, they need to keep this going until SummerSlam. Like, and so that's why I don't want to just see Becky Lynch win and then Ronda moves on and then Charlotte's going to get her title back easily. I want a little bit of controversy here to keep this thing going at its height.
So I lean in the direction of if Charlotte wins and Ronda goes away, Becky can still chase Charlotte. And they have Money in the Bank as the next pay-per-view in May. Mm-hmm. And you have Charlotte Flair's in a match. Maybe they get Ronda for a rematch. And Becky wins Money in the Bank and then cashes in on Charlotte. But that's a way that they could keep this whole thing going.
Yeah, keep it going. And then also, too, my theory on the whole show, but it goes against my theory here because I did pick Becky Lynch, is that you may not see anybody lose the title. I think everyone that has a championship could retain. And the reason I say that is I think because Vince McMahon is a little worried about some of these individuals jumping to AEW. I think the obvious ones are guys like Daniel Bryan, the Usos, Brock Lesnar. It sounds like he may have been offered a contract too. We know Ronda Rousey has not been afraid behind the scenes to say that if Cyborg comes in. So that's why I'm just a little, it's in the back of my head that we may not see any title changes at all. That's one theory I have out there, but I think that Becky ultimately does win because it is best. It is what's best for business.
I think Becky wins, but somehow she gets screwed on Monday Night Raw. But yeah, just to give you another prop, guys, Ronda Rousey announced a break from WWE on April 16th. The odds are minus 200. Yes, that she will.
April 16th. So that's the week after Mania.
Yep.
That's okay. The takeover. That's Canada.
Oh, right, yeah, with the Superstar Shakeup.
Superstar
yeah.
Shakeup.
Oh, it's by the 16th, excuse me.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I had way back in December, my prediction for the calendar year of 2019 was that Ronda Rousey wasn't going to make it to SummerSlam.
That's correct. You did. That was a hot take.
Yeah. But at the time, though, she wasn't, Jimmy. They had to do this heel turn, you know?
Oh, of course they did. And the thing about the Ronda heel turn is that she'll be so bad that she'll be turned back into a good baby.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Face. I don't want to go through the entire card. I'm very clear about that. But what I want to do is I want to go through the matches that we're most looking forward to. So, Joe Murray, you are our guest. You are from the Over Under podcast. Joe, what match are you most looking forward to for WrestleMania?
So, I don't think this will be the opening match, but I think this is a match that will be one of the best we see of the night. And it's AJ Styles and Randy Orton. And just to give you the odds right now, Randy Orton is the favorite at minus 165. Now, what is the one thing over, you know, in the past that these go home shows, normally the person that gets beat up gets over on the pay-per-view. Well, we saw Randy Orton drop the RKO on the go home show and he's favored heading into it. Now, the other angle is, can AJ Styles win again at WrestleMania? Are you going to continue to bury Randy Orton? So the way I look at it, I love Orton in the spot. The indies versus the pro, you know, the Dixie Carter mentions versus the, you know, the drug suspensions. Like, this thing's for real. This has been a reality buildup, and I think we get a great fight. And AJ had, to me, the match against Shane was good. The last year, nope. So I think him and Randy can have a really good fight. And I like Randy to get the RKO and get momentum, because AJ can always fight and battle back, and they can always move him to Raw if they have to.
Yeah. And he's also now under contract, too. So he just re-signed, and that's why I don't think he would lose that match. So I'm with you there, Joe. I would take Randy Orton in that one. Disappointing match last year. Performance, rather, with Shinsuke Nakamura. The one 2 years ago, I thought that was the best match in the card at 33 against Shane. So he's due for a good one here. And I'm with you. I think Randy Orton is going to pull away the winner in this.
Don't sleep on that. So I'm picking AJ Styles to win just to be a contrarian DB. Don't sleep on the fact that AJ had a good match with Chris Jericho in Dallas. I think that match is forgotten about, but that was a really good match. And I actually just, I recently watched this as I rewatched all the WrestleManias on the way to WrestleMania.
Every single one?
Yes.
Wow. That's impressive. Wow,
that's like watching Game of Thrones before it starts.
Well, you know, you gotta, it's a passion of mine. What can I say? But
I will say on Friday I did watch the whole 14 because that was the what the heck was that?
Anniversary.
The 21st anniversary, yeah, of 14 in Boston. So yeah, that's good. Good job, Jimmy.
But I'm picking AJ Styles here. I just feel like AJ needs another signature win here, and he signed a new contract, and I think AJ Styles is going to Raw.
Yeah.
And I think he's gonna be the next challenger, whether it's Brock Lesnar or Seth Rollins, and we'll get to that a little bit later on.
And to toot my own horn like you did on the preview show back in 2018 for 19, that was one of my hot takes as well for 19. Boom.
Mike, what match are you most looking forward to at WrestleMania on Sunday?
Oh, that would be Boston Zone, New England Zone, Kofi Kingston, baby. He deserves this spot here. 11 years in the company. He has paid his dues. He has been a company guy. Unbelievable in-ring performer going up against Daniel Bryan, who I appreciate in the ring a lot, except that stupid wooden belt. Jimmy, looks like they are now available on the Shop Zone. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do.
You should see the look at Jimmy's face right
it's
now.
It's awesome. Eco-friendly. I'm saving the environment by purchasing this thing.
I texted Jimmy last week. I'm like, Jimmy, that belt sucks. He goes, you hate the environment. So I don't think.
Oh, and I promised you that I was going to get a photo with that thing. So I'm going to find a way to get a photo with the eco-friendly championship.
I can't wait.
And just to throw something in the wrench in there, Kofi Kingston's minus 270 to win this match versus Daniel Bryan plus 180. The highest favorite, besides Becky Lynch, the highest male favorite in the championship matches.
The highest male favorite. Wow.
I think in a different year, at a different time, this is your main event for WrestleMania.
Agreed. And it should be. It really should be. But, you know, like you said, we're too invested with the Ronda Charlotte Becky storyline. I mean, you know, it'd be really cool. I think it'd be dynamite if they opened up the show with this match. That would be awesome. Get the crowd right into it. You grab the attention. Kofi Kingston walks out of New York as the new WWE champion. One of the best in-ring performers I've ever seen. We heard Dolph Ziggler say it on this show a couple of weeks ago. If he could fight one guy in the ring, it would be Kofi Kingston. He has earned the respect of his peers. He should be your next champion. I am super pumped for this fight on Sunday, because you know that's going to be one of the most athletic performances from both of those guys on the entire card.
So I think that Kofi's winning this. I think it's built to this point. Now, how long he holds it for could be a whole different story, but I think that Brian and Kofi can have a fabulous multi-dimensional 20-minute match. And when I say multi-dimensional, I mean they can work on the mat. They can do their high-flying moves. They can tell a fabulous story in their match, and Kofi winning is going to be, you know, once people figure out that Charlotte's winning the main event, Kofi winning the WWE championship will be the highlight of WrestleMania for many people. Not me, but for many people.
Well, the other thing too is that with Kofi here and Daniel Bryan, those were the final two in the Elimination Chamber, and that's where WWE saw the spark, and they're finally figuring it out now. The storyline behind it there with Vince screwing him, couldn't get the shot. It's been a good storytelling scenario here, and you're right, Jimmy, I think this could be the defining WrestleMania moment for everyone, especially if Charlotte is to win.
What's best for business is Kofi not winning the championship.
Oh, I love really? It. Good job.
I did not want to see Kofi in this match whatsoever.
Why?
I don't know what it is, but I agree with every move Vince McMahon makes. You know, bringing Charlotte into the mix.
Thank you.
You know, same thing here. Listen, Kofi Mania? Like, we talked about the card, okay? Overall, is it a great card? It's strong. It's a strong card.
It's the NFL of cards.
Yes. A lot of parody out there. Kofi Kingston is parody. He's getting the push right now. He's the Atlanta Falcons right now.
Yeah, but he deserves it, Joe.
He does deserve it. But in the end, though, who's really deserving of holding a championship? And that's Daniel Bryan.
So yeah, Joe's point a little bit, there are people who are better served as chasers. And I think Joe is saying that Kofi should be chasing, but should never actually either win the championship or have it for a long enough time. Like, one of the great chasers in history was the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith.
Another good one. Lex Luger. Ugh. WWF. Ugh. Well, he was.
You do Lex Luger on your own time, Mike.
I'm looking forward to seeing him at WrestleCon this weekend.
Remember a couple of years ago, Zack Ryder won the team. That was like a moment for him. Yay, Zack Ryder, you got your WrestleMania moment. Kofi does not. I don't think he should get a WrestleMania moment like that.
Oh, no, I love Joe. It. No,
good job,
no,
Joe.
Like this, though?
Thank you, Joe.
Why not?
You know, Money in the Bank cashing or something different. No. Mania? Kofi Mania? Are we serious?
Well, now it's out there. You've already made money off the t-shirts. You're going to ride the hot hand now. It's, you know what, Joe? Maybe it's the timing of it, because they decided to do this in February. And sure, we know it's just down the pipeline after that. So you have to do it now, WrestleMania. You can't wash this one away. You can't wait another month for Money in the Bank. You got to do it now. And that's why Kofi is going to win.
I want to close with this thought on this particular subject. What if Kofi wins and Vince McMahon comes out, does one of his promos and says, you know what, Kofi? You've had your moment, but you have to defend your title against Kevin Owens. And then Kevin Owens wins the title.
Wow. That'd be cool.
Joe?
I kinda like that.
Or like The Undertaker.
We'll discuss those two a little bit later on. We'll get there. Don't you worry.
John Cena would be cool.
The Kevin Owens thing, though, I wonder if he'd have something to do with the Orton-AJ just based off him kind of walking away and getting out of it in that Kevin Owens show. I don't know.
It would bring me great joy to see Kevin Owens win the WWE Championship once again, especially on the villain side of things. So the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Match that I am most looking forward to at WrestleMania is Samoa Joe defending the United States Championship against Rey Mysterio right now. Rey has an injury, so this match might not be the match that I'm hoping for or looking for, but these are two veterans, and I love everything that Samoa Joe does, and he's got a smaller wrestler in Rey who can do a lot of things for him. I just think this is a fabulous match. Two veterans, two great performers. If they're given time, if they're given 12 minutes, they'll tell a great story. And on a personal level, I love the fact that Samoa Joe finally has his WrestleMania match.
-250 Samoa Joe, +170 Rey Mysterio, and that's still up in the air.
And the story of Rey going for the Grand Slam is a simple story to follow. He won't win, though. Samoa Joe's winning.
So do you think out of the three matches we just said there, I mean, it's kind of hard with the main event scenario. We didn't talk about that, but I just want to ask you guys this. Do you think any major heel turns could happen in those three matches we just mentioned?
Yeah.
Just kind of curious. Which one?
New Day maybe turning on Kofi.
I could see that.
Okay. All right. Just kind of curious. A lot of people are talking about expect a big heel turn at WrestleMania. And you don't really see it too much there. The last year, it was just Shinsuke Nakamura. That was really it.
I gave you a scenario for a heel turn. It was Kevin Owens.
There you go.
No, yeah.
KO Mania.
Yeah, okay.
KO Mania. Not booked. I don't know. So kind of interesting.
That's probably the best case scenario.
Although I do have him, and we'll get to this in a second. I do have him as winning the men's battle royal if he's in it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So
that's coming up in a little bit.
Yes. So what I want to do is I want to do quick picks. Men's battle royal. Kevin Owens, I have to win. Joe Murray, who's your winner?
Oh.
Okay, you're not ready to go. Mike Riley, who's your winner?
Braun Strowman.
Joe Murray.
It has to be Braun Strowman, but I wouldn't put it past like a Michael Che. You know, like somehow he comes out on top and it'd be bogus.
Joe, who's the favorite? Braun?
Braun is the favorite at -120. Yes.
Who's the long shot? Who's the longest shot on the board?
Longest shot on the board that I see here, +5,000 is Hulk Hogan and Elias.
Oh,
Hulk Hogan! Wow.
Okay, so I'll give you the weird ones here. Hulk Hogan's on this list. Conor McGregor,
okay,
is +5,000. That's just a.
Joe, is Rob Gronkowski on your list?
He is. He is +1,000.
That's not terrible.
Those are great odds, by the way.
That's not terrible.
Joe, we may have to talk off the air about some action.
Yeah, and just a couple other names. Lars Sullivan is on the list.
So we'll talk about him in a little bit.
Harper, who had if we watch social media, very touching. Bray Wyatt on that list as well. And Velveteen Dream, who I think will just always pop up.
Absolutely. Women's Battle Royal. My pick to win, Mandy Rose, God's greatest creation.
All right, my pick is Lacey Evans, and I'm telling you right now, she is going to be a big thing. She did well in that Royal Rumble match. If you remember from a while ago, she's being teased all the time. She had the Marilyn Monroe look if you watch SmackDown this week. She is +100,
ooh,
and she's the favorite to win that. Asuka's +250. Mandy Rose, +800. Not sure who you like, Sarge.
I'm going Ruby Riott, and the reason I say that, I think she's going to win that Battle Royal, and then you see her make the jump over to SmackDown, and then she makes a good run at the SmackDown women's title when and if they dispose of these two things, separating them again, no longer this winner-take-all. She makes a good run on that there.
Ruby Riott +2,000.
Wow.
That's pretty good. I would probably take that.
Fantastic.
One thing that we should have talked about when we were talking about the women's match, and it's my fault for not bringing it up. Do you think they unify it?
No.
You think it's one that goes back and forth between the two shows?
No, I think it's just going to be in the scenario that Becky wins, then, you know, like Joe said, she'll probably get screwed out of something on Raw, and then she'll be forced to put one of them up there. With the Money in the Bank scenario, the winner of that will get a Money in the Bank title shot because you're going to have a SmackDown and a Raw one.
Yep.
I just don't see it unifying because with the two shows and now the new contract here with Fox is they want their own show and so forth. There's too much money on the line. So no, they will not unify.
They won't unify it.
Can't.
Yeah, I don't think they will either, which means all three of us will be wrong. Cruiserweight Championship. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say just a couple things regarding the Women's Battle Royal. Shayna Baszler is on there.
Yes.
And Tennille Dashwood, known as Emma, +3,300.
I saw she made.
She's a free agent now.
Hey, what about this? I mean, I know it's a listen. I know not a lot of people are invested. Maybe Dana Brooke, after what we saw with Ronda Rousey, might see her. What are her odds, Joe?
Yeah, Dana Brooke is on the list. She's +2,000.
Bring me Liv Morgan.
Oh, Liv would be good.
Liv Morgan, it's her hometown.
+3,300.
Oh, Joe, we are talking off the air, man. I got my wallet ready.
Cruiserweight Championship. You guys, I think Buddy Murphy retains. I think it's a matter of time before 205 Live is eliminated altogether. But
you know, I actually like Tony Nese. He's come a lot. I mean, Buddy Murphy should retain, but Nese has been a nice little story if you do watch 205.
It's I got to go with Buddy Murphy retaining here, and I think that you got to get these guys involved somehow more in the Raw and SmackDown instead of having this secluded show, which a lot of people are not invested in.
I have Triple H beating Batista. I don't think that's a shock.
Could there be a shocker, though? I mean, the odds right now, -400.
I don't think that one's it, though.
Yeah. What do you think Are these two going to be in shape? Are they going to be able to work 20 minutes? Like,
it's a no holds barred match. It protects them.
Okay. And then, yeah.
Although Triple H historically has been a hit or miss performer at WrestleMania.
What weapon would Batista use?
Steel chair. That's all I could think of.
Yeah, I would say the chair, steps.
Do they hug after?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, it's going to be a full house ending.
So it hasn't. Yeah. This has all just been a
no. It'll be that cheesy Shawn Michaels Ric Flair ending. I love you. I'm sorry. Boom. Pedigree. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I think it's a little more of a shoot instead of a work. A little more of a shoot. So I'm gonna go Batista winning. Triple H has his retirement stuff on the line. He doesn't need to fight again. And sure, yeah, we know that it's not going to happen, even if he does lose, that he'll probably fight again down the line. But that's a whole storyline going into it there. And I'll take Batista over Triple H.
I do appreciate the Batista pick, Mike, because that would mean that Triple H will have gone down without ever beating Batista in a one-on-one match.
Aha, there you go.
So I appreciate
set
that.
Set up for a part two.
I appreciate
Well, I'm going to tell you, like, I appreciate what Triple H has done in and out of the ring, but one thing that still infuriates me to this day was how he buried Sting at WrestleMania 31. That should have been Sting's moment right there.
Sting buried himself. He should have gotten a better 10. He would have won more.
Oh, come on. He should have been in. He should have been the winner.
Roll Tide.
It's a lot of tan.
Yeah.
I have Kurt Angle beating Baron Corbin in Kurt Angle's farewell match.
All right, I personally, and I'll give you the odds here just in a minute, but Kurt Angle's minus 250, Corbin's one. Can you really bury Baron Corbin here? Like, again, nobody likes him, but are they going to just bury him? There's got to be some way where Kurt maybe gets help, something. It's hard for me to watch a guy in a send-off match bury somebody else.
You know what? It kills me to say this. I love Kurt Angle, and I've been a fan of him for a long time. I don't see him winning this match. I just don't. I think Baron Corbin needs the win a lot more than Kurt Angle, because Baron Corbin right now needs that scenario. I'm the guy who retired Kurt Angle. He needs that heat on him more. Not that he doesn't have heat.
He really does.
Yeah, not that he doesn't
he's
have.
He's unlikable. Yeah, he needs that, Mike.
There used to be a term during the Attitude Era called X-Pac heat, which means you just didn't want to see this performer on your television screen. And that's what I think Baron Corbin has right now, which I appreciate.
And I think he's going to beat Kurt Angle. I think he needs the win more than anything else.
Joe, are there odds or prop bets as far as if this match actually happens? And if so...
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, my follow-up question was going to be, if so, who? But I think over the last few weeks, we've kind of seen why Kurt Angle's last opponent is Baron Corbin, because he can't hang with Chad Gable. He can't hang with Samoa Joe. They did a DQ for AJ Styles. They didn't even do the Rey Mysterio match.
Nope. What about interference?
That's what I mean. Like, what's the angle? Like, is there angle? Is there somebody that would like to help?
John Cena.
Okay.
John Cena, because he'll come out. He did it at WrestleMania 32 when The Rock was having trouble with the Wyatt family. He'll come out there. If Kurt Angle's getting his ass kicked by Baron Corbin, maybe it's a DQ. You have Corbin beat Angle. You win. Then he goes out.
Farewell match is a DQ. Gross.
Well, if not a DQ, but he just continues to beat the crap out of him. Then all of a sudden you hear Cena's music hit. Huge pop. Comes out. Knocks out Corbin. And, yeah, essentially Angle did lose, but still he has that farewell moment there with John Cena.
I have Shane McMahon beating The Miz.
Shane McMahon's a dog. A dog in this match, with The Miz being the favorite at minus 250. So why, Jimmy? Why best in the world, just making this go a little bit more? Why?
I think Shane is due for a WrestleMania win, and there's probably a little bit more value in Shane going forward with a win over The Miz to continue the program. And I would think that it helps Miz get a little bit more sympathy on the babyface side of things.
And he may walk away too. He's rumors he's having another kid, but he's favored.
Got
so.
The TV show.
Yeah.
Mike? Yeah, I'm
hello,
kinda...
is this thing on? Mike, hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello. I'm thinking, the more I'm thinking here, like I had The Miz going into this because of the babyface scenario, and he can very easily be the heel, but yeah, I think he does need to be more of a babyface down the line, like Joe said, and Shane McMahon is the better heel than The Miz. So yeah, you could have the storyline carry on here, bring it over to Saudi Arabia where Shane McMahon got that best in the world trophy, maybe have The Miz get it back over there. So I'm going to go Shane McMahon beating The Miz.
Could we ever get a father with Miz and Shane? Maybe we see that at some point, Vince on Shane's side.
Yes.
I'm sure they can make it work, but
definitely could. I don't
in their corner.
It's wrestling. Think, you can make anything work.
Yeah.
In fact, everything is a work.
But like who else would go up against Shane though? Like think about it. If Shane wins, right? Yeah. The only other person who can really come back at this is Miz. So,
you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I know he's not on the card. He's still under contract. But another guy I could see going up against Shane is like a Dolph Ziggler.
He has a handshake agreement. He's good.
Yeah. Or Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan and Shane. There you go.
I don't really think we need.
Yeah, we're carrying on.
Yeah, we're carrying on.
But down the line.
Finn Balor, the Demon, is going to beat Bobby Lashley for the Intercontinental Championship.
So the minus 600 here for Finn, the Demon Finn.
Bet the house on Finn Balor.
The logic hole, of course, is that Finn Balor apparently has put more value into the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania than he did the Universal Championship at the Royal Rumble, and thus the Demon paint.
Yeah, and again, like... with all due respect to Bobby Lashley, that is, I don't care about this matchup, Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley. It doesn't mesh.
If you want to carry on, Lashley's a guy that I'd like to, like, Finn's going to win the title, okay? Then who?
Right.
Like, then who?
Right.
That's the whole thing for me with Finn. If he's an Intercontinental Champion, it's like, eh. But if he's a heavyweight, he's the guy, the chaser that you were talking about earlier.
Move Finn to SmackDown. Become a champion there.
So I think Mike's onto something, is that Finn has his moment. He wins the Intercontinental title at the Demon. They can sell the plaques. They can sell the t-shirts. And then they do the shake-up, and they either flip the titles, the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title, or in the same way that Jinder Mahal won the U.S. title at WrestleMania last year, they switch the Intercontinental to somebody who's staying on a brand, and then you can manipulate it that way. But I think if Finn wins, he doesn't hold the IC title for long, because I think, to Mike's point, he's going to SmackDown. I think they're essentially going to trade off AJ and Finn, which I think that they should have a match on either Raw or SmackDown before that happens, because their match a few years ago on pay-per-view was awesome, and we need more of that. Sorry for the rant. Roman Reigns is going to beat Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? No. Okay.
No,
good.
That's a gimme. That's
all right.
A gimme.
Excellent. The Usos, I think, are going to retain in the 4-way match that they just announced. Joe, odds?
Well, just getting back to the Drew McIntyre and Reigns thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, this was not a passerby.
Reigns is -300. Drew McIntyre is +200.
Okay.
If McIntyre wins this fight, he goes on a huge run. The hiccup for Reigns is he's not ready yet. He's got a concussion issue, came back too quick. Can Roman do it again? Like, there's an angle there. And I don't just think that, again, Roman should just squash Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, and then, I think what we saw in Raw a couple of weeks ago in Boston with Drew McIntyre, that was pretty much his show, and it just seemed like he might be the future of WWE.
What's up with getting so personal calling him Joe?
Because I think they're trying to be edgier. They're trying to be in the same way that Triple H and Batista, it's not Ric Flair, it's Richard Flair.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to, in the same way that when Bischoff, another Eric Bischoff reference, when Bischoff started Nitro, he was going more for the 18-34 demographic, maybe by having people go, ooh, in the same way with AJ and Randy Orton. It's like, oh, well, you failed the drug test. Oh, well, you were the king of the indies. They're trying to blur that line. And if you say enough things, the smarter fans will pop for it. And the younger fans will be like, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, they'll have to catch on eventually because, you know what, I think that's a Bruce Pritchard move.
Could be. But in the same way that analogies suck, I know. the Muppets, right? So I'm a huge Muppet fan. Shocker.
Are you?
Gonzo is my favorite character on the Muppets. Yes, really? 100%. The Muppets, when we watched them growing up, we laughed, we cried, we were emotionally invested. Now, Shatter as I've Walmart. Watched them as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's funny on an adult level too. That works. So I think that's what WWE might be trying to do.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Just for the odds for the Fatal 4-Way, Usos are favored, followed by Aleister Black, Ricochet, The Bar, and then Rusev, Nakamura. You guys talked about heel turns. I feel like The Bar could turn on each other and Rusev, Nakamura. But I actually like Aleister Black, Ricochet to win this match and become the champions. They're getting a huge push right now. They're fun to watch. Their intros are good. They're new. They're flashy. They take dives that some people don't like. We're the Usos, and I'm not sure what you guys have heard about their contracts.
They just signed new ones.
Yeah, they're back.
So they're back. But it at least gives them another option, right? Maybe they can control their destiny or where they want to go next. And why not give out – what do you just – again, I always talk about burying people here, but like Aleister Black and Ricochet are getting a huge push. Keep it going.
Well, think about this. They challenged for the Raw Tag Team titles on Monday. They're challenging for the NXT championships on Friday, and then they're going to be in a WrestleMania match. So I would think that they would win one of those three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I'll go with them on that, because Usos just did re-sign the contract. If they had not re-signed the contract, then I could see them holding on and retaining. But I'm going to go with Aleister Black on this one because I don't think they're going to win the NXT one, Aleister Black and Ricochet, as the new SmackDown tag champs. To your point before, though, Joe, about The Bar potentially turning on each other, I think Sheamus is going to be retiring at some point this year. So I could totally see a beginning of an end of feud between the two that would carry into the summer.
Look how far Nakamura has fallen, huh?
Oh, my God.
Yep.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yep. I would just like more than 7 minutes from the Usos this year, because I got 7 minutes last year, and I was bitter about that.
Is Nakamura kind of remind you of like Dustin Pedroia, the way he's fallen?
No, because I think when Nakamura got to WWE, he was kind of beat up, and his best match with Sami Zayn, who I could have a good match with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that AJ match was bad. I'm sorry.
And I think that they tried to preserve him in NXT because he's got injuries, he's got this, he's got that. But the other thing, too, is maybe the New Japan style, he was just the best of, I don't want to say a bad bunch because that's not fair. He was the best of a bunch, and we were limited in our viewings of him.
Yeah.
So we saw the one AJ Nakamura match, and we thought that that was every Nakamura match. So we inadvertently overrated him.
Well, anytime I can try and knock the little leader, I'll do it. Even if it's not on a sports talk podcast, it's a wrestling one. So there you go. Boom.
Thank you, Adam Jones. Sasha Banks and Bayley are going to retain their women's tag team championship. Joe, what are the odds on this?
It's boss time.
Nice.
Vomit. Oh, isn't it the worst? Come on, I'm sorry. When I see these two on my television, I'm instantly just turned off. Like, give me Nia Tamina. Give me something else besides the boss and the hug. Like, it just, I'm over it, man. Like, okay, they're big favorites, Bayley and Sasha, -260, okay?
Good, they should be. They're from Boston.
The Iconics, though, +250.
Iconic.
+250, huh?
Now, Beth Phoenix, Natalya, out. Okay, but Nia Jax, Tamina, like, why not for a little bit? Have a little villains, you know, be the champs and have other women try to get together and battle them. But, like, Bayley and Sasha, vomit, dude. Bayley's not over. Sasha is. The thing with Sasha is she's carrying Bayley's ass. It's just so annoying, the two of them out there. Like, God, can we get something better than these two?
Good job, Joe. Mike, wow. Your pick, right. And then I have a follow-up thought to Joe's point. Mike, go.
Joe, I'm sorry, Joe, but they are not losing those titles. They're heavily invested with them. They put the women's tag.
Break them up. Ugh.
I'd be fine with that. I have no issue with it, but they're not going to break it up right now. Not now. So they're winning. They're not going to lose.
So I think,
I'd like to see Natty and Beth Phoenix, but it ain't going to happen.
So I think they're winning because I think the end of WrestleMania potentially is the image that you've seen going around social media. It's Charlotte with one, Becky with one, and then Sasha and Bayley with their tag team championships. And because the four horsewomen. Four horsewomen are the evolution of wrestling, and that's what WrestleMania is all about. Even though if they didn't have Ronda Rousey, they wouldn't be in the main event. But
even whoever wins now, it sounds like for the women's one, it's winner take all. So can that picture still be valid?
Well, it's Charlotte holding two titles, you know, with Becky in the background. Joe, you have a look of disgust on your face. Go right ahead.
I'm just as sick of these two. It's so funny when they come on, I fast forward. I change the channel, I get it. Sasha's the boss. It's boss time. Michael Cole. Ugh. Like, you know, and what has Bayley done? Like, she was an NXT star who cannot do it on the big roster. So let's force a title on her and have Sasha just carry her around with her little attitude that she has. I don't know. I like Nia. I feel, and I know Tamina's not great, but at least they're bullies. And why don't you bully some girls around for a little bit? I think it'd be entertaining.
They don't do bullying stories, Joe. They are here to be stars. That's not what they do. They don't bully people. Universal Championship on the line as we get to our last match, at least the last match that I have on the format, thank God.
This is really long.
Brock Lesnar is going to retain over Seth Rollins, in my opinion. Retain. Brock Lesnar goes into Saudi Arabia as the defending Universal Champion. Why? Because the Prince wants it.
Odds on this one, Seth Rollins, a slight favorite at minus 140. Brock Lesnar's plus 100. That could change. We talked about go-home shows. Seth Rollins got over on Brock. I just feel like Brock gets over on him. Isn't it everybody wants to help burn it down? And we're going to extinguish it. Like, I would love to see a fire extinguisher from Brock and end that match. But keep it going a little bit here. Like, it's not just Seth's done. I want to just see a fire extinguisher, Brock Lesnar winning.
So you're both picking Brock. I'm going to have to pick Seth Rollins here because I think you're going to see the Shield reunification for the final time, that WrestleMania moment. Even though it's not the last match of the night, you will see Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose out there helping the boy, Seth Rollins, and he will be the new Universal Champion. Doesn't mean he'll be holding it for a while, but he will have that WrestleMania moment there, becoming the Universal Champion. If he doesn't win, I don't care. I'm not invested in this match at all. I'm really not. So good for Seth Rollins if he does beat Brock Lesnar miraculously, but I'm not going to be shocked if Brock Lesnar does retain either.
So I think realistically that's the only finish that makes sense is triple shield powerbomb on Brock Lesnar through a table and then a curb stomp, and that's how Seth Rollins once again beats Brock Lesnar in a match. Because, of course, Seth cashed in during the Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match at 31. Ambrose lost to Brock Lesnar at 32. And then last year, WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans, Brock Lesnar beat Roman Reigns. So Seth Rollins is the only member of the Shield who has beaten Brock Lesnar, although I don't believe he will on this occasion on Sunday night at WrestleMania.
Would you make this a no-holds-barred last minute?
Yes, but they won't because Triple H has already called that.
Okay.
All right. And it is Triple H's show, so he'll get 35 minutes even though he doesn't serve it.
I don't know. If we're going to choose one, Becky or Seth, which one, or even Kofi for that matter, if you could only choose one to win, who would it be?
Becky.
So it's Becky. It's Becky's year.
So that's what I would do. I'd have her win and the other two lose.
Wow.
So to wrap up the WrestleMania picks, and then we get some prop bets and some other star questions before we wrap up. Do you think that they would do a clean babyface sweep? In other words, Rollins wins, Kofi wins, Becky wins.
The reason why I say they might is because they have said that they want to listen to the WWE Universe, and maybe it would make them happy. And then all of a sudden, Monday Night Raw is just a, you know, heading into the new SmackDown. Maybe that's their angle.
Yeah, without question, Jimmy, I could totally see the babyface sweep in that scenario for those three matches right there. You know, you can kind of see, especially with Becky and Kofi, because she was cheering him on there in that gauntlet match last week, and it's kind of like a foreshadow of things to come. So I could totally see that they have their moment there. And then, like I said, the Shield scenario for Seth Rollins. So yes, babyfaces will be the new champions.
If you had to pick one villain to go over, who would it be? I, of course, would pick Charlotte.
Baron Corbin.
I meant of the three big matches. I'm sorry. I should have been more specific. Of the Brock Lesnar, Rollins, of the Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, and of the women's main event.
Daniel Bryan.
I'll say Brock Lesnar. I think as frustrating as it is for people to see him as a champion, even with me too, I think it's still something to reach for to try to take him down. So, Brock.
All right, three topics here before we wrap up, because Joe's got Toucher and Rich to do in the morning. John Cena, will he be at WrestleMania? Dave Meltzer says John Cena has agreed to a match, but won't say who. He danced around it being Lars.
Yes.
I say yes, he's there.
Yeah, he'll be there in some capacity, yes.
I think John Cena is there, and I think he interrupts Elias.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good one.
What are the odds on John Cena being there?
There are no odds at the moment.
Oh, okay. Will The Undertaker show up? Dave Meltzer says no Undertaker at WrestleMania, but The Undertaker will be on the Saudi show. I say no Undertaker at WrestleMania, but if he does appear, it would be to help Seth Rollins win the Universal Championship, because then you could do Undertaker, Brock Lesnar at Saudi Arabia.
So I want to substitute what you just said there a moment ago with John Cena interrupting Elias. I think you see Undertaker interrupting Elias, and that's the scenario. You get him right there for the Mania moment of the Taker.
Joe?
Yeah, I don't think the Undertaker is going to be there this year.
Wow.
All right, final topic. There is speculation that SmackDown is going to be 3 hours, 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday night on Fox, and then FS1 is going to carry 10 p.m. to 11. The thinking is that WWE can get an extra $50 million. $50 million. That's how much the Prince paid for two shows last year on FS1. What do you guys think? I think it is terrible that they're going to ruin SmackDown, which is a great two-hour show, and make it 3 hours. But they're looking at it from the business side, and they can do other things with the $50 million. But I want SmackDown, my precious SmackDown, that sadly nobody watches or attends on Tuesday nights, to stay 2 hours.
So, Mike, I don't know how you feel about it, but just off the bat, I would use maybe trying to get NXT on television. I know they want people to go to the network to see it, but maybe that's a way they could work in those younger talents instead of burying them on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. And I think at 10 o'clock at night, people might want to see those type of performers, the Velveteen Dreams, the Adam Coles, the guy, those type of fighters. So maybe that's an angle they take, but also for $50 million, can they afford to do that? I would just hate to change the channel. That's what would bother me, is going from Fox to that. But 3 hours, yeah, I think they can get enough content.
They can get the content, and to your point, Joe, with the NXT scenario, that is a perfect situation to do it for Raw. Open up the hour of NXT on Raw, or like 1 hour full NXT, and then SmackDown for that matter. I love that parlay it right there. But, you know, I don't like if they are going to go 3 hours for strictly programming purposes, kind of like what we have for Raw right now. It'd be a waste. Don't fix anything if it ain't broke. And that's the rate we're going right now, that they are going to screw something up. So, unfortunately, when the money is out there, though, you can't turn it down. So I think that's the direction they're going. It's going to be 3 hours. I don't think it's best for business.
What just popped into my mind is the key to all of this. If they're going to have a third hour, still tape in Orlando. Still do that, and you air it on FS1 from 10 to 11. But you keep the unique crowd as a part of it, in the same way that ECW had the ECW arena for most of its shows. The key to it is you're not putting a 3-hour wrestling show in front of the same crowd. You're doing your 2 hours of SmackDown, and then the FS1 show is in the can because it was taped Wednesday or two Wednesdays ago in front of that home fan base. I think that's your key to a successful product.
Mm, yeah, I like it.
Not bad.
All right. We did it. That's our WrestleMania preview. Unless, Joe, do you have a closing thought?
No, I just wanted to mention some other names.
No, okay. Maybe. Mike, do you have a... No, just kidding. Go ahead,
some other names.
I just had a quick question, though, real quick. Okay. What are the odds The Undertaker and Cena show up? What are the odds?
There are no odds.
There are no odds.
When okay. hosts aren't listening.
But yeah, I know. I was going to say Kane is one of the names that have been approached to being at Mania. And also you mentioned Kevin Owens is one of them. And, and one other thing I think could be interesting is the Revival may challenge Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, I believe. That could be Curt Hawkins' first win, and I think that would truly get the crowd over from that pre-show.
Speaking of which, how many matches are going to be in the pre-show?
3, maybe 4. 2 battle royals, the cruiserweight title. At least that's what Wikipedia says.
Two battle royals in the pre-show?
Well, yeah, men's and women's.
I know, but I'd put one in the...
Maybe
you guys have discussed this before, but...
I mean, really, if the WWE really wants hardcore change... then they put the cruiserweights on last because that'll be the best match on the show.
I was just going to say,
that's not going to happen.
Could there ever be a WrestleMania not on a Sunday and have it an all-day Saturday spectacular?
Could happen. I think I'd prefer to see a Sunday afternoon like start at
1 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, exactly. Then you can go 8 hours.
The thing that they actually should do is 2 nights. One is Raw, one is SmackDown. One is Raw, one is SmackDown, and you have the football stadium both nights.
No, not 2 nights. It's going to be one night, 1 day only. That's it. Two.
You do NXT, and you get the same seat for both shows.
No, you can't do 2 nights. It's going to be 1 night. It's one event. The Super Bowl is not based on 2 nights. It's based on 1 day. WrestleMania is based on 1 day, not 2 days. One. That's it.
So then they should cancel Access. They should cancel NXT because it should just be 1 day.
Well, if it's on Sunday, you can do the Hall. You can do NXT Friday and the Hall of Fame Saturday.
Actually, I would love a 1 o'clock start for WrestleMania. There was a time where WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, was a 4 o'clock start.
I loved it.
It was
great.
And I was a young child.
Yeah, and actually, there was also Royal Rumble 94 was a Saturday night in Providence. Remember that?
No, but I'll take your word for it. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. You want to check out Joe Murray on the Over Under 985 podcast. Joe, plug.
Over Under 985, at Over Under 985. I'm at Joey Mayer, and I'll see everybody at WrestleMania this weekend.
For Mike Riley at Sarge 985, it's been a pleasure with Joe Murray on the podcast. No, I won't say anything mean. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart. If you are going to WrestleMania in New York, please don't hesitate. If you see me or Mike or Joe, come and say hello. I will not charge for photos. In fact, if you're really nice, I might buy you a beer.
Ooh.
I might do that. We'll see.
But if you're really nice, I'll pay to have my picture with you.
Whoa.
But here's the key. We're all normal people. We're all wrestling fans. Let's share in the fun of WrestleMania weekend. Let's have a good time. We will talk to you probably Wednesday-ish. We'll figure out our schedule, but we'll do the post WrestleMania wrap up show next week. We're all going to be there, and we will talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.